The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every which way you could take us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer in the house as well. What's happening?
Not much. Nothing much. Just having a little microphone issues here this morning. It's okay. Yeah. I'm good. You are good. The crew can't hear me, though. It's okay. We're going to have to work on our hand signals
today. Nice haircut. You know? See, you got a haircut.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. Looking.
There was questions about that on Twitter. I don't lie about my hair.
You're looking fly.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hey, you're welcome.
Pretty fly for a white guy?
It's a sweet 1980s compliment. You're looking fly. On the show today, man, I'm pumped. Football, baby. We're going to talk about, ready for this? First coach fired. We're going to do that coming up on the show. We'll review all of the bets that we have made, Kelly and I have made for the season, season-long bets that we have. Paul Carr will join us to talk the first weekend of Premier League football. Paul Carr, who, of all of our guests, the sneakiest fine record through the years. We'll go over that as well. He's you know what it is? 4 yards every carry, every year. It moves the chains.
Completely.
I love it.
We have records to review with him?
We'll review some Paul Carr records.
I'm actually pumped for that, and that doesn't surprise me at all. He's steady.
Yeah. Not flashy.
We also ask a lot out of him. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a lot of soccer plays in a year.
It's a three-pack every week.
Yeah.
Jordan Sherwood, UFC 305. You pumped for UFC 305? You going to bet this?
Yeah, probably.
Dricus Duplessis?
I mean, Gil, we've talked about this before. Friday morning, I have zero plans, but by the time Saturday night rolls around, I'm probably all in. Yeah.
Chris Felica, the Bear, going to talk his Premier League thoughts as well. They both went to the U. Chris Felica and Paul Carr, they both went to the U, and they're going to counter each other with picks probably.
Okay, so yeah, I'm glad we'll just brought that up, because the one thing I can't stop thinking about, UFC 305, we're not doing 305 down in Miami? Like, what? Come on.
We're doing it in Australia. Is where we're doing it.
Yeah, that's no fun.
And then Jason Weingart from Under Cloud of Smoke. Jason has actually done some prep for the segment today from Under That Cloud of Smoke. He has a blind player A, player B comparison because he just wants to drive home his NL Rookie of the Year thoughts for everybody. That and more coming up on the show as well. I want to start with, as we do, while the tennis tours are stateside, yesterday, another winning day with a big dog hitting on Yulia Putintseva. As a +275 dog against Coco Gauff. I will just say this again. Hard courts for the year, Kelly. Goodness gracious. 45 units to the positive. Over 45 units to the positive. Clay relentlessly. Remember, Clay was that relentless, like, just bad luck losses over and over. And then grass was just terrible. So we're not up 45 units for the season. We're up for the season, but we're not nearly up 45 units. But hard courts just continue to be awesome. Called this yesterday. Coco Gauff, and we're going to talk tennis later on the show because the U.S. Open is coming up. But I'm just saying these ladies at the top of the ladies tour, including Iga Swiatek now, but also Elena Rybakina, Arina Sabalenka, now Coco Gauff. There is mental fragility in every case. So they all have the tools physically, but boy, oh boy, they have some meltdowns in these matches. Iga herself in the Olympics was up 4-love in the second set against Zhang Xinwen and gacked it. And yesterday, Coco Gauff, after losing the first set to our girl Putintseva, she took control of the match. She won the second set. She was up a break in the third. She was up 4-2 in the third. And then someone else inhabited her body. It was incredible. But it was nice to be on the right side of one of those for once. And so we got it done there. Today, and by the way, so we're 2-1 yesterday.
How concerned are you about Coco going for it? I mean, I know we talked about this a couple times.
I mean, I'm not concerned because I don't want bets. Right. But as far as, like, if I was her coach or if I was her family, I'd be a little concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be a little
I thought Zach's comments yesterday were interesting on that because I think that's as bettors. We have to think that way where if you're recognizing there's something up, but how big of a dip in price is then it worth coming back to buy back in on? We'll see if his opinion changes on that over the next week. But
the thing about this is that every one of these ladies is getting priced as massive favorites in these matches. And if you know the data, which is how I do all mine, what was my comment yesterday? Should Coco be favored? Yes. Should she be nearly this big? Not a chance. You got to take the +275. So we were 2-1 yesterday because the matches stopped because of rain in Cincinnati yesterday. So the Casper Ruud match from yesterday still goes on this morning. So we have Casper Ruud over Felix Auger-Aliassime, extended from yesterday. I got the worst of that number. I have him as a slight dog. He's much bigger of a dog right now by about 20 cents, which is rare that we're on the that bad of the side of the CLV. We'll see how that goes. I'm on Ruud. And then the only other play I added is a big dog on the lady side. I am on Elina. I want to pronounce this correctly. Ready for this, Kelly? Elina Avanesyan. She is Armenian. Elina Avanesyan. She just, in fact, I think, officially decided to play under the Armenian flag, if you will. So she is over Ludmila Samsonova today. That is the play. Elina Avanesyan over Ludmila Samsonova. Plus 203 is where I got it. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every play, and every sport at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. That is the only one I added today. Elina Avanesyan over Ludmila Samsonova. She's only about 5 cents worse than that now. You can absolutely play it.
Like it.
Like
Let's
it.
Go Avanesyan.
Yeah, we'll see. So it's been a great week in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, Paris, Rome, Monaco, London, Shanghai, suburban Cincinnati.
J-Rod tweeting in, he's got a doubles match suspended from yesterday. He wants me to pronounce for it between Harry Heliovera and Henry Patton versus Nikola Mektic and Wesley Kulhoff.
I have no idea what just came out of your mouth. Yeah.
Tennis players.
Good luck to J-Rod on that play. Okay, by the way, we always do this with the baseball, too, because we had Aaron Judge's 300th home run earlier, because I'm a bit of a baseball nerd. But I just wanted to point out, yesterday we had a cycle in the Phillies game. You see that?
Yeah. The Rook.
Yeah. The Rook gets the cycle. Weston Wilson becomes the first Phillies rookie ever to hit for the cycle. He did it in the team's 13-3 win over the Nationals. He had a triple to lead off the fourth. The Phillies batted around that inning. He got a single later in that inning. And then he had a homer in the seventh and a double in the eighth. And if you just go historically, like how rare is the cycle? One in every 687 games played, you will see a cycle. That is more rare than a three home run game. But you know what it's not as rare as? No hitters, one in every 739.
Really?
I was surprised by that. I would think it was more rare than a no-hitter. Immaculate inning, one in every 2,068 games. I get rarer and rarer here. Perfect game, one in every 9,822. And the four-home run game, one in every 13,096 games. Unassisted triple play, even more rare, one in every 15,700. And a perfect game lost on a 27th batter, more rare than the perfect game, won in 18,134 games. How about that?
Wow. What was the cycle number again?
Oh, I was surprised by this. One in 687 games. That seems low, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Those are also, I'm guessing, vast historical numbers, right? Like, there's definitely been way more no-hitters in the past 6 years than there has been cycles.
The game changes. By the way, they get this list that I'm looking at gets into like really like rare occurrences that you wouldn't even think about. The rarest of the rare of the rare. Two grand slams in one inning happens one in every 235,736.
How many times did it happen? Period.
Once in the history of baseball.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. So you can go through all that. But anyway, cycle, good for Weston Wilson. Giants avoid the sweep against the Braves. They needed that to stay within contact. We're trying to get the Braves out of the playoffs based on our bet here on the show and one I have off air. The other thing, we got a tweet this morning, back to football now, as we crescendo to our great game. Got a tweet this morning from somebody. I want to give credit to who asked this. But he was like, okay, the Falcons got Justin Simmons now on the heels of trading for Matthew Judon.
Were we all aware of this, by the way? I think I texted you this yesterday. Was I supposed to know Justin Simmons was still a free agent?
Yeah, he was
okay.
Out there. Yeah, and they
like he's been talking with teams?
And they were rumored to be interested.
Okay.
Eric Pinnell, thoughts on Falcons number one seed, plus 950 at FanDuel. I don't hate it at all. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC, but they have that NFC South schedule where you're playing the Panthers twice, the Bucks twice, and the Saints twice to start. And then it's just, you know, it's just an easier schedule, generally speaking, if you go through the if you go through the Falcons schedule. And Kirk Cousins, again, I was the one who was railing against these hack doctors. I was on with Will Hill on his podcast, Should Have Bet More, and we were talking about this. I was the one railing against these hack doctors who were saying, you know, like Aaron Rodgers could come back and play last year because it drove me crazy. But Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers now with an offseason, they'll absolutely be fine start this season. So I just think the Falcons, I don't hate that. Number one seed plus 950.
Yeah, we're going to talk through our all of our futures here next segment, but that's it's where we talked about a little bit about it with Aaron Schatz. I understand there's still some defensive concerns even after you add these two guys. There's still going to be some defensive concerns, but man, that division is just so weak to me. I like the Falcons in there, and then we're talking overall when you're talking about one seed. We're still talking about this is the lighter conference still. And if you wanted any more futures that you want to go beyond that, I can't really argue with that because I don't know how many really elite teams there are in the NFC.
Yeah, and remember, when you're talking about like thinking about a Falcons season win total over, the advice is wait till after week three because it's Pittsburgh, then it's at Philly and Kansas City. But then after that, it is just a cavalcade of wins that they should get under their belt. Home games against New Orleans and Tampa, at Carolina, home Seattle, at Tampa, home Dallas. So they get the tougher teams at home and the easier teams on the road. So they should really rack up some wins. But Justin Simmons, two Pro Bowls, 30 career interceptions. Add him to that defense, and all of a sudden, remember Aaron Schatz said they got the worst defense in the NFL. Not anymore, they don't.
Yeah, he might be getting up there in age a little bit, but I...
What is he? I mean, he's still 30,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
30 years old, I believe. So, good deal for the Falcons, picking up Justin Simmons on the heels of trading for Matthew Judon. 30 years on the button is Justin Simmons with 30 career interceptions. We'll come back. All of our future NFL plays are season longs that Kelly and I have both made. We'll list them in case you've missed any. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Episode 1 of Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million. Making its debut Monday night right here on VSiN, the five-part docuseries. Takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor contest. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. Watch Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million this Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com/Survivor for details. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. You know what this... First of all, the first episode is going to be on Monday, and then the following week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Bam. Yep. I watched the first, like, 10 minutes of
the
first
episode. Oh, you took a little sneak peek, did you?
It's a little sneak peek of it. You and Bill Krakenberger show up very early. We got to talk to Crack at some point about the OCD with the Bills, which like are very, it's very well organized and I respect but it's like incredible.
Yeah. He has them vertical, horizontal, vertical.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, like, so yeah, like there's, you know, not vertical, spoiler alert,
but east, west, north, south, east, west, north, south.
Yeah. I mean, so he goes to like buy in for Survivor and it's just 10, boom, right there. And they're like just stacked up so perfectly organized.
Yeah.
And like tight. We're talking like that big.
Yeah. Have we never talked to him about
this? I don't know.
All right. We will.
Yeah.
But you know what this really opens up? The thought, they kind of hinted on this when there were some of the stuff that Bill was writing. Imagine if this opened up the door to like an entire section of VSiN where we were doing like sports betting docs. But we've missed it, like having cameras on people sweating their bets kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the Guardian 65-1, for instance, like something like that. Like if we moving forward, if we established a 30-for-30 like docuseries.
The weight loss challenge between Dustin Swedelson and Jonathan Von Tobel.
That's right. Let's get on that. Nosotros Trapajabamos, people.
Please do. Please do.
Shout out, Del Abbott. We get sweets at beating the book. I always appreciate the feedback. Ray Pierce, I will be curious to see what, pardon me, what words of wisdom you spit out about the Mets today. Oh, there's no words of wisdom. Other than, again, the Mets gacking a 5-run lead yesterday against the A's. They lose 7-6. The Mets, who were my August pick, it took 5 months, but I finally picked a terrible one in in these monthly baseball ones. The Mets are so far down. By the way, the silver lining of the Mets pick, by the way, is that if I was going to make a bad pick, this was the month to do it. Because the Diamondbacks and Padres are threatening to run away and hide anyway. So even if the Mets were three or four games better, you know, it wouldn't even be a thing. So right now, as I look at the standings that I sent you this morning, Kelly, the Diamondbacks 11-2 leading the month. The Padres 10-2, followed by the Astros and Twins, both with 9 wins, 9-3 and 9-5 respectively. Everybody else 8 wins or fewer. So, you know, more than halfway through the month, or just past the halfway mark. Right now, it's the Diamondbacks and the Padres with the Astros and Twins chasing. Mets have 5 wins. Are they like 5-8?
Yeah,
feels
like, I don't want to say it feels like a couple of these teams are starting to run away and hide by any means, but compared to the last couple of months, it felt like there was such a bunch leaderboard for most of the month, right?
Astros and, Diamondbacks and Padres never losing another baseball game.
Right, yeah,
either
yeah.
Team.
This is 11-2, 10-2. It's crazy.
This is from, by the way, that Astros game also against the Mets yesterday, the longest pitch clock 9-inning game that we've ever had. 3 hours and 45 minutes that game took.
Oh,
we're not
God.
Used to that anymore.
That's awful. Yeah.
Remember how that used to be the norm?
Yeah.
Ugh. John B., great call on Goff losing yesterday. Any insight into your analysis to make that call seem to be a big upset? As we talked about yesterday, there's just these sort of the wobbliness of Coco Gauff to begin with, but just from a data standpoint, there was no way, and I'm talking about serve percentages, return percentages, breakpoint percentages, the whole thing that I do, there was no way that Putintseva should have been that big of a dog against Gauff anyway on hard courts. This is from Jason H11. Hey, Gilly, when did you hire Howie Long as producer number 10? That's a comment on your haircut, Gilly, is what that was.
Man, I wish I could have that Howie Long perfect buzz cut. My hair isn't like that. And what was that terrible movie he did in the late 90s?
He did a movie?
Oh yeah, Howie Long was the star of a firefighter. Oh, he was in Broken Arrow too. Good call, Matt. I forgot about that one.
Was he in Broken
John
Arrow?
John Travolta
the original?
And Christian Slater.
You meant Broken Arrow TOO, not Broken Arrow 2.
No, but yeah, yes.
Okay. This is from James Sott. I have made some good money on fading Coco, but man, it was painful to watch that meltdown when she was up 4-2. It was unbelievable.
Firestorm. That was the name of the movie.
Exactly. We should never have said Howie Long now. It's all he cares about.
Just the 1998
I'll just do the show, and he'll just name Howie Long movies for the rest of the 2 hours. Edward Lefevre, you never mentioned Paula. Oh, you're right. Well, she was the one in my 2-1 yesterday. Lost on Kalinskaya against Badosa. Paula Badosa. Paula Badosa, as we like to call her, she has found that form that she had from a couple years ago, and she might be a sneaky play come U.S. Open as well. She may get far in this tournament in Cincinnati, the way that the bracket is working for her. Rick Ollier, just sitting here on this beautiful Friday morning listening to ANG and eating my McDonald's breakfast. If only I had a delicious water from the D to wash it down. Oh, it is a delicious water. Rob. Robert Bogman, Astros had 2 immaculate innings in the same game versus the Rangers in 2022 against the same 3 batters both times. I remember that. It's true. And then skateboarding is a crime. Excellent job on the pronunciations this morning, Gil, but we need Kelly's attempts first. You're right. You are right. My bad. Skateboarding is crime.
Yeah.
I gotta look
remember all those stickers? Skateboarding is not a crime. Bing. They would always try to keep the kids off the benches and stuff.
Oh, really?
The rails.
Is that where skateboarding is a crime comes from?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. I believe so.
Here are our season-long NFL bets. I want to do mine first or yours first, Kelly? Who's got honors?
Let's roll with you.
All right. These are the ones I've made so far. I may add some more. And it's one of these off-seasons where I'm not going to have that many. And then every, few weeks, just add another one. The first one I made was the Cincinnati Bengals to win the NFC North. This was before the schedule was even announced. To win the AFC North, pardon me, I keep doing that, plus 175. I believe Kelly's on this same one. Then I did the couple bets on the Steelers, under 8 wins at plus 110, then the alt under at 7.5 wins at plus 155. Again, brutality on that schedule, particularly on the back end, the hardest 7-game gauntlet you'll ever see. Of course, this goes against, I'm not sure if you're aware of this thing with Mike Tomlin, but he's never had a losing season.
What?
Breaking news here on the show.
No. Can't wait for them to trade for Ayuk. It's going to be great.
As I said yesterday or the day before or whatever, I think Ayuk is going nowhere, and I think Ayuk never wanted to go anywhere.
I don't think the reports, right? He doesn't even want to go anywhere.
Back to mine, Puka Nacua, Offensive Player of the Year. 32-1. I'm on Puka Nacua. You know how I feel about Puka Nacua. You know how I feel about Sean McVay and Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford colluding to never give the ball to Puka Nacua last year until they absolutely figured out, oh, wait a minute, I guess he's great. Maybe we should keep feeding Puka Nacua instead of Cooper Kupp from his neighborhood. Again,
the cul-de-sac.
McVay, Stafford, and Cooper Kupp live in the same cul-de-sac,
yep.
And it's just a whole thing where Stafford and Kupp do a podcast together. Give the ball to Nacua, 32-1 Offensive Player of the Year. And then just the other day when we were here with Fezzik, there was a stray 7-1 on Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year, behind us here at the D at Circus Sports. Everybody else was down to +450. I was mad at myself for not having bet Jaden Daniels 7-1, and I got lucky. Still here. So I bet Jaden Daniels 7-1. By the way, Jaden Daniels had a very fine performance in his brief stint as the Commanders quarterback in preseason game number one. Drake May yesterday for the Patriots finally got a little run. He led two scoring drives. It's a little misleading to say it that way because one was a 51-yard field goal. The other was a short field, but he did run it in. But 4 of 7, I believe, were his stats,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he looked – I watched a fair amount. I thought he looked pretty good on a couple throws. You know, the one that Milroe was in there, and the one I don't understand with preseason games, like, what's the point of running – what's the point of running just straight read option runs?
By the way, 6 of 11 for 47 yards. That's where I messed up.
Like, what's the point of running plays that are straight read option runs with these college quarterbacks that have done it a million times?
Why don't you get hit a couple times?
Right. These kids have done it a million times in college. Like, it's not what you want to see out of Milroe. You need to see him throw the ball.
Eagles beat the Patriots last night 14-13, which also calls to mind what Will Hill was talking about on the podcast. What a stupid week 2 preseason schedule this is. A game yesterday.
I brought that up to you yesterday too, off the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a game yesterday.
No games today.
2 on Sunday,
and then a whole bunch tomorrow.
like
preseason's already a tough enough sell. Make it a little more regular.
I thought they did it pretty well week 1.
They did.
If you stagger it across 4 different nights, like I'm gonna watch on 4 nights at least bits and pieces. But like, how many games are you gonna be completely unaware of tomorrow? I mean, there's like. I think it's like 10 games or something.
Just watching my kid Owen. That's all I care about.
Oh, man. All right.
Eagles got the money last night, by the way.
You know what? We'll hold off on mine.
Oh, okay. Wow, a little drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a lot more than you. I feel like you're a little light.
I'm a little light.
Than usual, right? Is that fair? A little lighter? But not a ton.
I don't go crazy.
Yeah.
You? You're all. What do you
have? No, I feel like I'm at my like average.
How many total do you have?
Double digits.
Kelly Bidlin coming up with his place. Premier League, Paul Carr, as we review his historical record here on the show, all of his plays and more. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish, it's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I don't want to read a bunch of tweets, but I just want to read these couple. Eddie Vegan Runner says, please, 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 30 for 30 on the eggnog challenge and Matt Brown's field goal kick.
Those would be
whew, yeah.
The field goal kick?
The field goal kick. We would have to produce it in a way that captured the delay that Matt Brown all put us through.
Yeah.
And then as Steve the Proxy says, words of wisdom, the quote spit out about the Mets may be a play on words, being that the Hawk Tua girl threw out the first pitch in Citi Field yesterday. I'm glad you mentioned that. My God, what is happening? So this was before this happened, or I didn't even know that happened, or maybe this is how it came up in the first place. But so this girl, right, viral, it was funny for what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, it was a good, solid laugh for a few days.
It was a chuckle.
It was an internet chuckle.
It was a guffaw, what it was.
An internet funny.
It didn't even rise to the level of a brouhaha. I don't know. But anyway, the point is, I watch Bill Maher real time every Friday night on HBO, on Max, excuse me. And I like the show because he's kind of balanced now with how he does things. He had her on his podcast. It was it was the creepiest thing ever. It's like a 68-year-old dude having this girl on, and the only possible reason he could have her on the podcast is because he thought maybe there's a chance. That's it. It was just creepy as all.
You and I were texting about this yesterday. I was not aware of that. It just feels really weird for Barr.
Lost all respect.
Just feels like a desperate guest attempt. Like, I don't know. Like, he's got more things. He's got better things to do.
It's like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He tried to get her to do a podcast on his network during the pod. I'm like, okay, I got to stop watching. It's a whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if there's an artful transition to this, but Premier League season begins today. Two things that are not related. Paul Carr joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast. He works at True Media Networks. And one correction, he did not go to the U. He went to Wheaton College, but he spent much of his life in Miami because his dad went to the U. Paul Carr, everybody. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm well. Gil, I have no idea who this girl is, but I saw her throwing out the first pitch yesterday and I refused to look it up. I think it happened during Euros, so it was just, you know, I don't know what's going on, but
don't waste your time.
I'm not going to find out.
Don't waste your time. It's not worth your time.
Blissfully ignorant. Yeah.
All right. Before we get into your plays here, because with the Premier League season, which finished a minute ago, is beginning again. The United States has themselves, the United States national team has themselves a new coach by the name of Mauricio Pochettino. What can you tell us about him?
This is a home run hire. I will say it's not official yet, but it's been reported. They're just finagling over some details, it appears. But it's a home run hire. He is or was one of the top 10 managers or so in the world. He's coached in the best leagues, the best competitions at, you know, Southampton, Tottenham, PSG, Chelsea. He has a history of making clubs better, like getting Southampton into the top half, getting Tottenham into the Champions League consistently, those kinds of things. So realistically, they couldn't have hired much better. You know, to use a poker analogy, the U.S. is getting its money in with the best hand. Doesn't mean you're going to win. They're not going to win the World Cup probably in 2026. Does it mean they'll make it a round further than they hoped? Maybe. But they put themselves in the best position to do it by hiring one of the best available managers.
All right. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Whether it results in a deeper, drive into an international tournament, we shall see. We shall see. That will be ultimately how he will be judged. All right. Premier League season last year. If my memory serves, scoring was up a tick. Maybe more than a tick. Maybe I'm underplaying it. Was that a thing? Was that random? Should that continue?
Yeah, it was more than a tick. It was about half a goal per game, which is a lot when in soccer. So it was up from about 2.85 to about 3.25 or so. And there's some things that are the same and some that may not be. Like, there were a few more penalties last year. Also a higher conversion rate. On the whole, like 90% when historically it's about 78%. So not quite sure that is sustainable. There's more added time because of the way they were calculating it. Not sure if that's going to happen again or not. Signs point to no, but we're not really sure. So those two things, maybe not sustainable, but shot quality has been up and rising in the Premier League and almost every league for the past 10, 15 years. So that's a stylistic thing, and it comes from a lot of pressing and creating, you know, essentially good fast break opportunities. I think that part will be the same. So if I had to take a wild guess, I would guess scoring will be down a little bit from last year, but up from where it's been, you know, historically over the last decade or so.
All right. So if we see some more Paul Carr overs, let's not be surprised.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I think there's maybe one game where 2.5 is kind of the standard over under for this game, for this week. I mean, the books, you know, they're not dumb breaking news. They've caught on a lot, so it's hard to get anything close to even money on over 2.5 anymore when, you know, regularly there were a handful of games like that every week before.
If you missed Paul's appearance earlier in the week, he had a bunch of futures plays for us. Arsenal to win the title, plus 175. We won't go through the explanations again, but just to list them. Newcastle to finish in the top four, plus 230. Brentford to finish in the top half of the table at 4-1. Southampton to be relegated. They're up. I'll go back down is what Paul is saying, plus 110. And then Alexander Isak to win the Golden Boot at 16-1. So those were his plays earlier in the week. Now it's game by game. And Paul, I was mentioning this at the beginning of the show. You are a very quiet, steady, move the chains Premier League handicapper. What has your record been on this show through the years?
I mean, it's a grind, you know, 38 weeks spread over even more than that. So, yeah, it's, you know, if you make three picks a week, you're just trying to look to grind out these 2-1s every week or 1-2s and at least not go 0-3 and hurt yourself. But last year, up about 6 units on Premier League, 7 units the year before. And the year before that was a big one. It was up 16 units and hit a big Golden Boot future before the season. So it's been a good run the last 3 years here.
Yeah. Would you rather do that or go up, you know, 45 units on hard courts and drop 30 the other way on the other services?
Yeah, it was pretty much sounds, NBA season. Yeah.
This sounds much more calm and civil. All right, let's do it. We begin today. Do you have a play today?
do not have a play today. It's Manchester United, Fulham. I don't really like either one of these teams from a season-long standpoint. Like, I would take the under on both point totals if that's an option. I think Fulham could be in relegation danger. So if you want to get spicy and play like plus 500, plus 550 on them to be relegated, I don't hate it. And United still doesn't have a midfield. So that seems to be a problem as you're going into a season. So I don't really like anyone. I'm staying away from this game.
All right. So Paul's picks begin tomorrow, and he starts right in on the team that he has to win it all. Starting with Arsenal.
Hey, let's go with the team I like to win the title, especially at that price. I'm going to take them to win to nil against Wolverhampton. Again, talk about this every year, but some books you have a win to nil or win to zero price. Some you can parlay a win and both teams to score no and get to the same end point. But win to nil against Wolverhampton. This one's fairly simple. You know, you obviously don't have this season numbers to work with, but we're looking at last year. They had the best defense in the league. They picked up a couple of defenders in the offseason. Ricardo Calafiori, Italian, you might remember from Euros, has joined them. And they also have Urien Timber back from injury last year. So the defense should be at least as good. And Wolves is not good offensively. They're the fourth worst attack. They sold a couple of the best players. A couple others are hurt. A starter's out with a red card the last game of last season. So this is, you know, this Arsenal 2-0 type of game that they grinded out a lot of last year. I expect more of the same to start tomorrow.
All right, Arsenal win to nil versus Wolverhampton. One of the great Chrissy Andrews story times for those who remember on the Beating the Book podcast. What is nil? I have one question. What is nil? It's a whole thing. It's a fantastic story.
I've always thought the Wolverhampton Wolves just feels a little lazy too.
Lazy.
Yeah. You got it.
That's a weird thing. Like, the formal name is Wolverhampton Wanderers, but Wolves is like the abbreviation. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's not like the Wolves, like you would say, you know, the Pistons or whatever. It's an English thing. Yeah. Americans don't understand.
We don't understand anything. All right, Arsenal win to nil tomorrow, and then Sunday you have a pair of games.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Brentford against Crystal Palace. I'm going down with a Brentford ship. You know, had them in the top half. Their numbers last year, they drastically underachieved them, and they're kind of running back the same team for better or worse. So I like them at home against Crystal Palace on Sunday, plus 145 for the Brentford win. Palace is a popular sleeper team this year to get, you know, maybe make a run at the top six or something like that. But I'm not as convinced. They lost their best attacker. Michael Olise has gone to Bayern. They have several other players they might sell in the next couple weeks. So that's a distraction looming over the team. And Brentford has Ivan Toney, who looks like he's going to stay, although he wasn't great toward the end of last year when he came back from the gambling suspension. But they also have Brian Mbeumo back. He scored 7 goals in 15 games the first half of last year before he got hurt. So trust the continuity. Brentford win plus 145 against Palace.
All right, and then Man City also gets a play from you.
Yeah, a little bit of a, I don't know about an auto play, but Man City minus 120, that's about as, you know, good a price on a City win as you're going to get this season. They're at Chelsea on Sunday. City does not have Rodri, their midfielder, who kind of makes them tick, but Chelsea is such a mess. They signed like a whole team worth of players. They brought in a new coach. So we don't know what we're going to see from Chelsea. They probably have the widest range of outcomes of almost any team this season in the league. Okay. So I'm keeping this simple, taking the better team for a City win.
That's interesting about Chelsea. We're trying to come up with which NFL team has the widest range of outcomes. I can probably name a handful of them. Washington leaps to mind right at the top of my my dome, but Chelsea is who fits that bill for you. So here are the three plays from Paul Carr tomorrow. Arsenal win to nil versus the Wolverhampton Wolves. And then Sunday, Brentford to beat Crystal Palace, plus 145 is Paul's price. Always shop around. And Man City to beat Chelsea at Chelsea, minus 120. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
The man moves the chains every year on the show. Doing Premier League. We appreciate it. At Paul Carr on Twitter. Kelly's futures plays in the NFL, his season longs, and first coach fired next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're ready to up your game this football season, dive into the action with VSiN's college and NFL betting guides. Whether you're gearing up for college matchups or the NFL grind, expert insights, stats, predictions, your ultimate playbook for success, is at your fingertips. Just $175. For that amount, you can score VSiN Pro Access until the Super Bowl. All the tools, trends, tips you need to crush your bets and stay ahead of the curve available until the big game. Don't miss out on this winning opportunity. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe now to score your VSiN Pro Access. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Man, oh man. College football, less than 10 days away. The NFL just got to bang out these last couple preseason games and the the awkward week off where Drew Dinsick takes the wife to on a vacation.
It's very sad that I know what Drew Dinsick's vacation schedule is. I'm like, oh, yeah, your Napa trip. Your about that.
Very plus EV.
I remember I was very impressed by it like 2 years ago when I first heard about it. It's a solid move, really solid move.
Real quick before we get to your your football, can I just say it's funny what like no matter what we mention, what gets traction. Mm-hmm. Even like my aside about the whole cycle and how rare it is versus other baseball feats, that seems to have people's attention. Jack says Fernando Tatis Sr. was the guy who hit the two grand slams in the same inning. He's right, for the 99 Cardinals off the same pitcher, Chan Ho Park of the Dodgers. So imagine the rarity of that.
Wow.
The fact that that is even so, Fernando Tatis Sr. again, this is why like Fernando Tatis Jr. having this egregious contract with a guy who like has 10% of his lifetime earnings is just so ridiculous. Like, your dad was a ball player. This was what Fernando Tatis Sr. was known for. It was in 1999. And imagine the rarity. It's the only time it's ever happened in the history of Major League Baseball. Again, we said earlier, one in the history. It's a one in 235,000. It's even more than that now, games. It's probably like over 250,000 at this point. Maybe not quite that, but it's like 240,000 games. And he did it off Chan Ho Park. The fact that Chan Ho Park was still in the game, the fact that the bases got juiced again, it's amazing. That'll never happen again. Never. Never say never, but I'm thinking never. D-Gen Southern Gent, the immaculate grid section of my brain immediately kicked in when you mentioned one out short of a perfect game as being rare. Mike Mussina did it twice. He also came within two outs of a perfect game on a separate occasion as well. Oh, that stinks. Mike Mussina. Orioles great. Orioles fans hate it when the Yankees claim him. Kelly, yeah, you want to give your futures bets for the year?
Yeah, we'll do. Fernando Tatis Sr. playing a lot longer than I remember.
Oh, no. He was a ball player.
Yeah. I just had to pull up his stats.
During the third inning of a road game against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium in April of 1999.
And like Chan Ho Park and the Dodgers, I remember those days well, but yeah, I don't remember that game.
I do remember it happening now that he mentions it. Yeah.
That is wild. Okay. My
double digit futures bets from Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
That's right. It's a 15 pack for you coming your way. the old 15 pack. All right, I'm going to start with my team ones here. Bengals to win the AFC North. We talked about that. You and I both fired on that. Well, it was basically as soon as it opened.
Yep.
Only other division bet I have added then, Falcons to win the South. I brought that up earlier in the first segment. I understand completely the defensive concerns. I think there's still some there. I think that there are major, major questions with every other team in that division. I do not think that the Panthers are going to take a major step forward. I think we see the Buccaneers take a step backwards. And the Saints, I'm just...
Aaron Schatz disagrees with you on the Saints. He likes them.
Does. He does. I mean, I expect the Saints to be the second place team, I think. But I think last year, you and I both kind of got them like dead on, where it was like, I don't really know what this team's going to be. And they're not... Like, they have a very high floor, right? Like, I don't think the Saints are losing. Like, I don't think they're winning less than six games. But, like, they're also, I don't think they have a very high ceiling at all. And I think that's exactly what we saw out of that team last.
There is always a team. Like, you're 10 weeks in, you look back, you're like, wow, I've never bet a game either for or against this team. Because you just don't have a handle on it.
Yeah, yeah. And they might be that team for me this year. So, Falcons win the NFC South. Couple make-miss playoff bets for me. Seahawks, we talked about this yesterday. Did take them at 2-1 to make the playoffs in the NFC.
I like it.
And then Jaguars to miss the playoffs. I did make this bet a few weeks ago. I think that AFC is crowded. I don't really like him in the AFC South. I think the Texans, I think C.J. Stroud is that good. He's that real. They're going to end up winning that division. And as you and I kind of talked about yesterday, it goes AFC North and then AFC East. We were power rating these divisions. I just think there's going to be a couple of these teams that we all think are pretty good that get left out. I think the Jags are one of them that happens this year. And then three win totals for me. Steelers under 8.5, paying that extra juice a little bit more than you on the 8 and the 7.5. Giants then under 5.5 and over 2-1 and all under there on the Giants. Bears under 9.5. That's an alt high. Played the underlaying -165 on the Bears. I think they could be a decent team this year. I just don't think we're talking about a playoff team in year one of Caleb Williams. And then my Patriots best most regular season losses and the Patriots to be the last winless team.
Where'd you get the 6-1 on the last winless?
Where did I get that?
Yeah.
I think that was right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like,
there's so many I've talked about that I haven't gotten, like, I forget to bet. Like the Jaden Daniels thing is like, oh, yeah, I got to bet it.
So, like, you know what? In the one bet I still haven't added, I think I have to play the under on the win total, too, right? Because, like, how bad of a beat would it be to lose a couple of those, but they only win a couple games? Like, I think you almost have to bet them all if you're thinking like I am. Okay. And then my player bets that I have so far. Anthony Richardson, MVP 40-1. That kind of goes back to that AFC South conversation. I don't know if I like the Colts skill, but I think there is. I think Anthony Richardson has that ceiling where he could be that good. And at 40-1, if he does it this year, it's the last time we're ever seeing a price like that on this guy. So I think there's a possibility there. I like him as a long shot MVP pick. And then a couple rookie of the year bets I made. This was like right after the draft. Keon Coleman, I grabbed at 50-1.
FSU homer.
Yes, FSU homer. Yes, that number's long gone. Yes, I think he's going to be a jump ball guy for Josh Allen there. Xavier Worthy, 18-1. Yes, that number's long gone because you can get much longer than that now if you want. As nobody else has bet Xavier Worthy to be rookie of the year. Xavier Worthy, this is my. I like this bet better to receiving yards leader for Xavier Worthy at plus 850. Do think of that offense with Mahomes, and he's going to be targeting him deep often. I like that bet. Mike McDonald, then coach of the year, 20-1. And Will Levis to lead the NFL in interceptions at 23-1.
I got to add Mike McDonald, coach of the year. I'm all about that.
Yeah, too. Yeah. You're getting that FOMO feeling. I'm getting that FOMO feeling right now about Jaden Daniels after you guys hit that 7-1.
A little FOMO on Mike McDonald. Yeah. NFL first coach fired. This is available globally, as they say.
Yeah.
Globally. Dennis Allen of the Saints is the short shot at plus 275. Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys, 6-1. He's second on the board. Todd Bowles is at 8-1. Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll both at 9-1. And then Nick Sirianni leads the double digits at 10-1. Eberflus, 12-1. Stefanski, 12-1. Pierce, 14-1. McDermott, 14-1. This is interesting.
This is a fun market every single year.
You should put fun in quotes because it involves the firing of a person from his job. So it's a little dirty. But
betting market. Yeah.
But a fun betting market. Yeah. Sorry. That's what we do here.
These guys always get second and third chances.
That's right. They're making enough money.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to feel that bad for Mike McCarthy.
No, I'm not either.
These guys got enough out of his career.
So this is an interesting market because obviously it's going to, you know, The obvious is a poor start must be paired with this.
Yeah.
So the instinct is to look at schedule. I'm going to go a different way here. Well, I'm going to so from a scheduling standpoint, where I think the value is on Sean McDermott, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Staying consistent with my Bills to miss the playoffs. Because I think their schedule is really difficult. And I think 14-1 on him is interesting. A guy who never won coach of the year, but flirted with it. So I just think that's interesting. But as far as a path is concerned, I think Nick Sirianni at 10-1 with the Eagles is interesting because, and we talked about this when I did NFC East previews here on the show, Kellen Moore is his offensive coordinator now, right? Vic Fangio is his new defensive coordinator. If things go bad for Philly, he's the fall guy, not them.
Mm-hmm.
So and remember how it ended sideways last year. So I think there's a schedule play at 14-1 on McDermott, and I think there's a pathway, if you will, because of the new coordinators in Philly and how last season went down, where I think Sirianni could be out if things go sideways.
Yeah, this is where I love these conversations, right? Because I am like, those are two teams that you and I are kind of in different boats on, right? I like both the Eagles and the Bills this year. You're a little bit lower on them. So I wouldn't bet them, but that reasoning makes complete sense. Like, yes, is there a path to that happening? Absolutely, and you're right. Sirianni is the guy who goes this year. The blame doesn't get put on anybody else. I thought that Dennis Allen was going to be, I'm surprised he's this short. Are you not surprised it's this short of odds on him?
I don't really get why he's that much shorter than everybody else.
I understand he's the favorite. Like, I think he should be, and Mike McCarthy probably up there too, but surprised he was that much shorter.
Mike McCarthy, obviously, too. If something goes wrong with the Cowboys, Jerry's going to totally use him as the fall guy.
I think he's – so, like, the ones that I was kind of circling of I'd be interested betting-wise, it is McCarthy. Eberflus is the other one that I think is kind of interesting.
I think he bought himself some
–
the defense improved tremendously last year. And he's a defensive guy, so that helped him. But yeah, I guess if you're right, if the Bears started terribly, I guess that's a possibility. But he bought himself some time, I think, last year.
All right.
I think. It's an interesting market. I would like for it to be more widely available. Let's put it that way so that we can bet this freely. Coming up, Chris Felica, the Bear. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.